Vedanta Ganga, and up on the hill, in the direction that we're going to be walking, is the house of Ganga Mata Goswamini. And this place, Vedanta Ganga, has some specific, very special significance in her life. So I'd like to narrate a little bit about her life in this place. You'll hear from her life that she was very intimately connected with the worship of the deities at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And the situation also discloses something that's very practical and very important for all of us to understand about our role to preserve the teachings and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, about 2 or 3 generations after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, in a kingdom in the northern part of Orissa, or the southern part of West Bengal, was one king. His name was Naresh Narayan. Naresh Narayan had one daughter only, and her name was Sachi. From her early childhood, Sachi showed 2 very strong indications of her future. She was very scholarly, and she was very devoted. So in her childhood, very quickly she mastered all of the academics that a royal family could provide for another young member of the royal family. Extremely accomplished in her scholarship. But even more outstanding was her quality of devotion. Very, 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 very strong was her devotion. So much so that when it became time for her of marriageable age, for the king and the queen to make arrangement for their only offspring, she told her mother and father, "I do not want to marry anyone who is born in this mortal world." So how do you marry someone that's not born in this mortal world? That means she doesn't want to be married, but she didn't say, "I don't want to be married." She said, "I don't want to be married to anyone who is born in this mortal world." Indirectly, she's saying, her real husband is Krishna. So her parents thought, she's a young girl. She'll get over that. But she didn't get over that. It became stronger. And stronger. And stronger. So much the frustration and disturbed state of mind of her mother and father, the king and queen, finally they left this world without having their daughter married. She inherited the kingdom. And she ruled as queen, although she had no interest in the affairs of state. So one time, in the name of making a tour of her kingdom to make sure everything was going on very nicely, she made arrangements for the kingdom to be looked after in her absence and went on tour looking for a spiritual master. And she came right here to Jagannath Puri, spent some time, and while here in Jagannath Puri, she heard about very, very elevated Vaishnavas that live in Vrindavan, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She went to Vrindavan. prominent Vaishnava during that time. Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Ananta Acharya. Ananta Acharya was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, just to give you some idea of chronology and personalities. The same Haridas Pandit is the personality who instructed or requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. And on the order of Krishnadas Kaviraj, Haridas Pandit, Krishnadas Kaviraj, well, same personality. So in her royal attire, with her royal ornaments, and her personality that fit the situation, she came before Haridas Pandit, offered her humble obeisances, and requested Haridas Pandit to accept her as a disciple. Haridas Pandit's reply was, "This is not possible. You're from a royal family. You're accustomed to royal comforts and prestige and pomp, and here in Vrindavan, where is my residence, none of these things are of any importance. It will not be possible for you to live here in Vrindavan as my disciple and be happy." She was from royal stock, and so she knew exactly what Haridas Pandit was doing. He was probing to see what is her real desire, how sincere and deeply serious she was about spiritual life. She understood that to be his message. She didn't become discouraged. Rather, she remained in Vrindavan, and slowly she removed the golden ornaments and bracelets and rings and fine cloth, and accepted the simple cloth that we find in the village people in Vrindavan. Although she is the queen of a kingdom, she maintained herself by performing madhukari, just like a sadhu. Extending her cloth at the home of whoever it was would offer her something. And then whatever she received at the end of the day, that was her sustenance, and throughout the day, she would visit various places where there are temples and sadhus who are speaking the message of pure devotional service. So Haridas Pandit could understand. She's very serious. So then one more exchange is described in their dealings with one another. If you can actually be happy in this situation, living as you're living, then I can consider accepting you as a disciple. So for almost 2 years, she lived in this way, and her very, very beautiful, queenly form became very thin and frail. But she was radiating with a transcendental happiness that was far more attractive than her former material beauty. And all the residents of Vrindavan were appreciating the genuine devotion of Sachi. And so, Haridas Pandit accepted her as an initiated disciple. He initiated her into the chanting of Krishna's holy name and the 18-syllable mantra. Doesn't mention in the biography what name she was given. So just continues speaking of her as Sachi. And after some time, he assigned for her to reside as Raghunath Das Goswami had made as his residence by Radhakund. Haridas Pandit had another female disciple, very, very elevated Vaishnavi, whose name was Lakshmi Priya. She was having the practice of chanting as Haridas Thakur 3 lakhs of names a day. Hare Krishna. He requested Lakshmi Priya to go give her associate. elevated Vaishnavis, and Sati's regularly sitting at the feet of Haridas Pandit, hearing with great attention, with her sharp capacity to understand the message of pure devotion. She became very, very accomplished in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Haridas Pandit, as you recall, his spiritual master was Ananta Acharya, whose spiritual master was Gadadhar Pandit. Here, in Puri, he received word that the descendants of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were no longer properly maintaining the worship of his deity. We're going to go and see this deity. Very, very beautiful deity. There's Shalagram Shiva, Damodar Shiva, and his Radha Krishna deity. So he instructed her two things. You are from that area, you speak the local language, you understand the message of pure devotion, you're living your life as an exemplary member of that message. Go to Puri, take care of the deities of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and preach the message of pure devotion as found in Srimad Bhagavatam amongst those who are your peers, your native members. Good preaching strategy. Note. Because it worked. So on the order of Haridas Pandit, Sachi came here and made her residence where we're going shortly, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. The biography of her life describes just a short 2-3 generations had passed, and the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was sorely neglected. It was dilapidated. And the teachings of pure devotion had also, just 2-3 generations, had gone down and down. Until what was here so abundantly just a few generations before was hardly present. Please consider what our responsibility is as members of ISKCON to take this message of pure devotion and continue it to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. Something glorious over a period of time may also deteriorate, as did the teachings of Bodhicitta here in Puri, the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and even the worship of his deity. Now, the Smarta influence from the time of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, again, upsurging. And any Smarta Brahmin will let you know that a woman doesn't worship Shalagram Shiva. Sachi worshipped Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's Shalagram Shiva and his Radha Krishna deity. And there were some Smartas that objected. And Sachi, based upon the training and teaching that she had received from Haridas Pandit, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so the assembly became larger and larger and larger. One day the king of Puri heard about Sati's wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam classes and he decided to come here and hear her speak. When he heard her speak, he was astounded. And a desire moved, stirred in his heart. He wanted to do some service for her. That night, in a dream, the king had a dream where Lord Jagannath appeared. And Jagannath gave him two instructions. He said, you should build a house for Ganga Mata, for Mother Sachi, very near to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That's right by the, very near the Sveta Ganga. This is the Sveta Ganga. She would like that very much. And also, you should seek shelter of her lotus feet. Now this comes later. So he did this service for her. And as she was
a certain festival once a year is held where a Mahasnan, Mahavaruni Snan takes place at the Ganga, where Varuni takes bath in the Ganga. And she very much wanted to go. But she was instructed by Haridas Pandit to stay and serve the deity. And so she couldn't go. And recalling that instruction, that was enough. She dropped the idea. She didn't like whine and complain and, oh, I'm stuck here. I can't do what I want to do. She just wanted to follow the instruction of Haridas Pandit. So she gave up the idea. In the evening, she had a dream. In that dream, Jagannath came to her and said, Sachi, don't think like that. The day when Varuni will take bath, that day you must go to bathe in Sveta Ganga, because it's none different. You just come here to Sveta Ganga. Take your bath this evening. So that evening, late at night, when no one else was around, Sachi came here and took her bath in Sveta Ganga. As she was bathing in Sveta Ganga, the water of Sveta Ganga started to rise and rise and rise, and waves started coming from Sveta Ganga, carrying Sachi right to the Jagannath temple and inside the Jagannath temple. And the devotees here in Puri, who also were unable to go, they understood, Ganga's coming. They all took their bath in the Ganga on Mahavaruni Snan. And there was a whole clamor late at night, and the guards in the temple woke up. Oh, they were supposed to be awake, but they woke up. What's this noise? And even the king himself heard so much clamor. He came out of his palace. What's going on? What's going on? So just to see to the safety of Lord Jagannath, they unlocked the doors, because they only have the key, and they went inside, and there was Sachi standing right in the middle of the temple room floor. And they thought, she must be a thief. She's come to steal the ornaments of Jagannath in the dead of night, posing herself as a sadhu. And she was arrested and put in the king's jail. That night the king had a dream. Lord Jagannath appeared. Jagannath said, immediately release Sachi from your dungeons. It was because I wanted to personally arrange for her washing. He wanted to arrange for washing her holy feet with the Ganga. He personally wanted to do that. Therefore, I've brought her here. If you at all want to live peacefully for the rest of your life, release her at once. Moreover, you should take shelter of her and receive initiation from her. The king was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, and he understood what a great mistake he had made. He came to her house where we're going. The king came to her house, profusely apologized, told her of the dream that Jagannath gave his instruction for her to initiate him. And she smiled, thinking, what playful sport Jagannath makes. Hari Bol, Lord Jagannath. And so on an auspicious day, the king, along with many of the attendants of the king, took initiation, and from that day forward, Sachi became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. One of the great, great Vaishnavis in Lord Chaitanya's disciplic line, and by her incredible qualification, she became an initiating spiritual master in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As did Hemalata, the daughter of Srinivas Acharya, and Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda. So right here in Jagannath Puri, Ganga Mata Goswamini resided very near Sweta Ganga. One other big-time Smarta Brahmin scholars at the time was on tour and came to Puri, and he came to hear about Sachi Mata, but Ganga Mata Goswamini. So he came to hear from her. He wanted to hear her explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just from one day of sitting with her, hearing her explanations, he was overwhelmed. Just like we heard Sarvabrahma Bhattacharya, such a qualified scholar, hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explain Vedanta Sutra, he was convinced that all of this smarta stuff that he had been learning his whole life was practically useless. And the pure knowledge that he had received from Ganga Mata Goswamini was the real thing. He stayed and continued to hear from her. And after some time, he also requested her to give him initiation. Big smarta pundit. Very similar to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's becoming a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this Sweta Ganga carrying her into the temple, it's like a miracle. But for Jagannath, it's simply his play. And this, out of this whole story, this description of her life, something that, I'll say it again because it's so important, the successive generations following Srila Prabhupada's very, very powerful, dynamic, charismatic leadership to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in an unprecedented manner, very easy for all of that to just collapse in a few short generations. So it's really incumbent upon those who are receiving that same knowledge to take it, to take that gift very seriously. Perform those same activities that are demonstrative of sense control, not of the same scale necessarily as Ganga Mata Goswamini, but to be very serious about receiving shelter at the lotus feet of the representatives of the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very serious in this manner. And in that state, eagerly tried to receive the transcendental message of pure devotion with full faith that there's nothing that can compare in its purity and perfection as the message of pure devotional service. And carry that message of pure devotional service forward into the next generation and on to the next generation. This is our great privilege and great challenge. Anywhere you turn, left and right, in front of you and behind you and above you and below you, in all directions, there's challenges. I'm just, even in the hotel where we're having our program, as you exit the hotel, just to the left, in the Jagannath Puri Dham, there's not a picture of Lord Jagannath. Something's going on. The face of the Holy Land, even Purushottam Kshetra, is changing. It's very serious. What will exist a few generations from now? And it very much depends upon the sincere members of who are receiving this same message of pure devotional service, to take it to heart very seriously. Live it purely. And in a very compassionate way, give this message to others. In the course of the day, we're going to be hearing of several personalities who did just like that in the course of their Krishna conscious lives. And it's incumbent upon each one of us, taking inspiration, praying for the mercy of these great souls, to carry forward this message also. In a very sacred, caring way. It's a very serious matter. To preserve the message of pure devotional service is not just a teaching, it's a whole way of life. One's life should be the expression of that pure devotional service message. That's very powerful. So this is Sweta Ganga. We can take a couple of steps down and sprinkle some of Ganga Jal on our heads, and then we'll go to next. We're going to go to Ganga Mata Goswamini's home. Yes? Then to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house while there's still darshan. Huh? Kunjamat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.